How do you grow crops in an area where there is very little water? The answer is to use a seawater greenhouse. The concept was invented by Charlie Payton and is currently being developed as part of the Sahara Forest Project in partnership with architect Michael Paulin from Exploration.
Well, the main thing that seawater greenhouses do is that they create a very good growing environment for crops in arid regions. So some of the most water-stressed parts of the world are ideally suited to seawater greenhouses. And the way that they do this is that they have an evaporator on the windward side of the greenhouse. And seawater is trickled through that so that when the onshore breeze blows through, it picks up a lot of humidity and is cooled quite a lot in the process. And then the roof has a double layer of polymer, and the lower layer is fairly opaque to infrared, which generally speaking plants don't need, certainly don't use that as much as the visible spectrum. And the combination of that cutting out the infrared and the evaporative cooling means that it's about 10 degrees centigrade cooler inside than outside, which is obviously a big advantage in hot countries. And then the other advantage is that because it's very humid inside, the plants actually use a hell of a lot less water. They use about a tenth of the amount of water what they would do if they were growing outside.
And is it particularly seawater that you need?
The great thing about seawater is that it's abundant. So in parts of the world where there's very little fresh water, if you can use seawater to create this cool growing environment, then that's a great thing. And the other thing that I didn't really mention about the seawater greenhouses is that at the leeward end of the greenhouse, you have condensers. And those are very simple bits of technology. It's literally just thin-walled polythene tubes that are arranged vertically, and seawater is passed through those. So when the warm, humid air is coming out of the greenhouse, you get a lot of water condensing onto those surfaces as distilled water. So it's turning seawater into distilled water just using the sun and the wind and a tiny amount of pumping energy. There have been three seawater greenhouses that have been built. Some of them are kind of self-sufficient in water. They create enough water for all their own purposes. One of them was actually a net producer of distilled water from seawater. Our proposal is to combine this with concentrated solar power, which has some very interesting synergies. And there's a possibility that this combination could produce maybe three or even five times as much water as is required for the plants inside.
Do you also get quite a lot of leftover salt as well from this process?
You do, yes. And that's a really interesting area that we've had some initial thoughts about and we want to do a lot more work on. It's interesting that what you get is not just pure sodium chloride. There are different things that crystallize out at different points. So the first thing to crystallize out is actually calcium carbonate. And you can get that to build up on the evaporators. The evaporators are just made out of recycled cardboard. Very simple technology. And if you run it in a certain way, you can actually get that to build up and become encrusted like a sort of lightweight limestone block. And at that point, you take it out and you put a fresh one in. And you could even build with that. You wouldn't be able to build high-rise, but you could build low-rise structures. And if you think about the carbon in that, that carbon will have come out of the atmosphere into the sea and then into a building product, which is quite elegant, really. The next one to crystallize out is sodium chloride. And there are various things you can do with that. Some quite nasty things like making PVC that we intend to avoid, but some other things that you can do with it. At the moment, we sort of joke that what we're going to do is try and satisfy Kensington and Chelsea's demand for pompously packaged and overpriced table salt. But we're going to do quite a bit more work looking at what can be done with salt. And salt's got a very interesting history, actually. There was a town reported by one of the great travellers in the Middle Ages, a town in North Africa that was built entirely out of salt blocks. So it may be that there are other things we can do with the salt. And then the next one to crystallise out is magnesium chloride, which you can actually use as a desiccant in low-energy cooling systems. So that's a very valuable product. And then after that, you get all sorts of other elements which we would hope to be able to extract and use to fertilise the soil.
And do they actually really have to be quite close to the seawater? Like, these are really coastal structures.
In some ways they do, in that you don't really want to put in a huge amount of infrastructure and have to do lots of pumping and so on. But one of our plans is to find a depression, so a bit of land that is dry but below sea level, and get a sea pipe to that so that we can bring in unlimited quantities of seawater under gravity. We're actually very keen to scale this up since it has the potential to revegetate areas of desert and turn barren land back into productive land. So there's a big advantage for us if we can bring a lot of seawater in without having to pump it. And the other advantage of coming inland is that the air is drier, that the relative humidity is lower. And just that difference alone increases the amount of water that we can evaporate and therefore the amount of water we can create.
And in terms of sort of day-to-day running of the greenhouse, do they require any other power?
Sometimes they need a little bit of fan power to keep the wind passing through the greenhouse. But apart from that, if it's a location that's above sea level, then it needs pumping. It's not a large amount of energy. And as a way of creating fresh water, it's just massively better than common forms of desalination.
That's Michael Paulin, Director of Exploration.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.